Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, The Activities of the Prachetas. The Prachetas were a royal princess who went to perform austerities to realize God, Krishna. And because of their austerities in devotional service, Lord Shiva came to instruct them and bless them. And eventually they realized God, Lord Narayana. So we will read text 38. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tu sakshad bhagavan prabhasya priyasya sakyu krishna sangamena sudus chikitasya bhavasya mrityor vishaktamam tvajagatim gatasma vayam tu sakshad bhagavan prabhasya Priyasya satyu krishna sangamena sudus chikitsyasya bhavasya mrityor vishaktamam tvajagatim gatasma. Please repeat. Vayam.
Vayam.
We.
We.
To.
To.
Then,
sakshat,
directly,
Bhagavan,
O Lord,
Bhavasya,
of Lord Shiva, Priyasya,
very dear,
Sakyu,
your friend,
Kshana,
for a moment,
Sangamena,
by association,
Sudus Chikitsyasya.
Very difficult to cure,
Bhavasya. Of material existence.
Mrityo.
Of death.
Vishaktamam.
The most expert physician. Tva.
You.
Adya.
Today.
Latin
destination.
Bhata
have achieved.
Sma
Certainly.
Certainly.
Translation. Dear Lord, by virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva, who is very dear to you, and who is your most intimate friend, we were fortunate to attain you. You are the most expert physician, capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence. On account of our great fortune, we have been able to take shelter at your lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It has been said, Harim Vina Na Shrutim Taranti. Without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, one cannot attain relief from the clutches of Maya, the repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death. The Prachetas receive the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the supreme devotee of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. The most exalted Vaishnav is Lord Shiva. And those who are actually devotees of Lord Shiva follow Lord Shiva's advice and take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. The so-called devotees of Lord Shiva, who are simply after material prosperity, are in a way deceived by Lord Shiva. He does not actually deceive them, because Lord Shiva has no business deceiving people. But because the so-called devotees of Lord Shiva want to be deceived, Lord Shiva, who is very easily pleased, allows them all kinds of material benedictions. These benedictions might ironically result in the destruction of the so-called devotee. For instance, Ravana took all material benediction from Lord Shiva, but the result was that he was ultimately destroyed with his family, kingdom, and everything else, because he misused Lord Shiva's benediction. Because of his material power, he became very proud and puffed up, so that he dared kidnap the wife of Lord Ramachandra. In this way, he was ruined. To get material benedictions from Lord Shiva is not difficult, but actually these are not benedictions. The Prachetas receive benediction from Lord Shiva, and as a result they attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This is real benediction. The gopis also worship Lord Shiva in Vrindavan, and the Lord is still staying there as Gopishwar. The gopis, however, prayed that Lord Shiva bless them by giving them Lord Krishna as their husband. There is no harm in worshipping the demigods, provided that one's aim is to return home back to Godhead. Generally, people go to the demigods for material benefit, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.20. Kamaisthaisthairittigyana prapadyantenya devata tam tam niyamam astaya prakritya niyataswaya. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. One enamored by material benefits is called Hritigyana, one who has lost his intelligence. In this connection, it is to be noted that sometimes in revealed scriptures, Lord Shiva is described as being non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The point is that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are so intimately connected that there is no difference of opinion. The actual fact is Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arasabha Mritya. The only Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are his devotees or servants. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 5, Text 142. This is the real fact, and there is no difference of opinion between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu in this connection. Nowhere in revealed scriptures does Lord Shiva claim to be equal to Lord Vishnu. This is simply the creation of the so-called devotees of Lord Shiva, who claim that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are one. This is strictly forbidden in the Vaishnava Tantra. Yastu Narayanam Devam. Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma are intimately connected as master and servants. Shiva Virinchinutam. Vishnu is honored and offered respects by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. To consider that they are all equal is a great offense. They are all equal in the sense that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all others are his eternal servants. Translation again. Dear Lord, by virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva, who is very dear to you, and who is your most intimate friend, we were fortunate to attain you. You are the most expert physician, capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence. On account of our great fortune, we have been able to take shelter at your lotus feet. So, here the Prachetas confirm the statement of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Devi hiye shagunamayi gunamaya duratyaya mam evye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. That the material nature consisting of the three modes is very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders to Lord Krishna can easily cross over it. So here the Prachetas took shelter of Lord Narayan, who they call the most expert physician who can cure the disease of material bondage. Now, many people approach Lord Shiva to get some material boon. Behind a temple at Juhu Beach in Bombay was the Juhu Scheme, which had many big mansions. And one of the mansions belonged to a movie producer named Ramanand Sagar, who was a friend of ours and a life member of ISKCON. And he even did a series on Krishna based on Srila Prabhupada's book, Krishna book in particular. Once he invited us over to his home for some program. And when I walked into the entranceway, I saw a big statue of Lord Shiva. So I indicated, what is this? You know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is this? And he said that by worshipping Lord Shiva, I get material wealth. That was what he thought. And that is a common idea. And because Lord Shiva is easily pleased, he may give such fools material benefit, but they are deceived because they're missing the real benefit of life. And they're remaining subjective to the samsara chakra, the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. But if someone worships Lord Shiva or approaches Lord Shiva, not for some material benefit, then Lord Shiva will bring them or direct them to Lord Krishna. Two examples from my personal knowledge. One is Nityananda Prabhu, who's the temple president in Dallas. It just so happened that his home was next to the Krishna temple of ISKCON in Fiji. And he was a Shaivite, but not because he wanted anything material, but he just thought Shiva was supreme.
But he was so agitated by the kirtan next door, which bothered him. Somehow it bothered him. You know, he would call the police and create a lot of trouble for the devotees. But eventually, through the association of Srila Prabhupada's devotees and by the grace of Lord Shiva, he himself became a devotee of Krishna. A good devotee of Krishna. Another example is a professor from UCSB who in her junior year at the university went to India to study. And she went to Varanasi. And she became a devotee of Lord Shiva. Then later, as a professor at UCSB, she had a number of students who were devotees of Krishna. And gradually she became more and more interested in Krishna and Vrindavan, to the extent that she made Krishna and Vrindavan her specialty, and she went into very deep study of the Vaishnava scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam and the books of the Goswamis. Satsandarbha by Jiva Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. But she had some doubt whether she was being unfaithful to Lord Shiva. So I helped her to understand from scripture, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, that Lord Shiva himself is a Vaishnava. And if someone approaches him not for material benefit, but just for knowledge or devotion, he will bring them to Krishna. And that is actually what happened to her. And even devotees of Krishna can pray to Lord Shiva to help them attain the favor of Krishna. As the example is given here of the gopis, they prayed Gopishwar to get Krishna as their husband. And even we, as aspiring devotees, we can also pray to Lord Shiva. One of our god brothers, who's a sannyasi and very advanced devotee, at a certain stage, he just really wanted to know what Srila Prabhupada wanted of him. He felt that he was meant for something beyond what he was doing, but he wasn't sure what it was. And he felt that the impediment to his understanding what he was meant to do was his false ego. And Lord Shiva is in charge of false ego. So he went to Kailash chanted and, you know, performed some austerities to get the favor of Lord Shiva, that his false ego should be dissolved, and he should be able to understand what his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, wanted of him. When I was in Madras in 1971, I met a man. He was known in the city as being very religious. And he was under the impression that Lord Shiva was the Supreme. So we had an argument, and it turned out he had a sort of volatile personality, and he became very angry, and his face got red, and became very angry. And he sort of parted in a very tense situation. But as it is, I was meeting people in Madras, and people were saying, "Oh, have you met Mr. Ramakrishna?" His name was Ramakrishna. And, you must meet him. He's a very religious man. He will appreciate what you're doing. And I think he was also probably hearing, "Have you met the Hare Krishna people? They're doing good work. You'll be happy to know about them." So I thought, all right, so many people are saying, let me meet him again, and I'll try to avoid that controversy. So I phoned him, immediately agreed to meet me, and we both wanted to avoid that type of conflict. But eventually it came to the same point: who is supreme, Krishna or Shiva? And the argument started to escalate, and it seemed like it was heading towards the same type of explosion as the last time, which none of us really wanted. And then I suddenly got an inspiration, and I said, "You know, I'm just a student, but my guru is coming in 2 weeks. So why don't you just discuss with him when he comes?" So he was very happy with that idea. First, because he avoided another nuclear holocaust. And two, because he was getting to meet Srila Prabhupada. So when Srila Prabhupada came, I invited Mr. Ramakrishna, and I was in the room when the two met. And, Mr. Ramakrishna said, "You know, I've been having discussions with your disciple, Giriraj, about who is supreme, Krishna or Vishnu or Shiva." But Srila Prabhupada did not entertain the question as Mr. Ramakrishna
phrased it. He avoided the whole polarization on the question of who's supreme. And he said that there are two words, bhakti, or seva, and puja. And in bhakti, one worships the deity or serves the deity only for the pleasure of the deity, without any desire for any personal benefit in return. And in puja, generally people, they worship the deity for some material gain. So, devotees, they worship Krishna in the mood of bhakti. And generally, people worship Shiva in the mood of puja, to get something. So, there was no argument. Then Mr. Ramakrishna said, well, aren't there also people who worship Lord Shiva in the mood of bhakti? And Srila Prabhupada said, well, there may be exceptions, but, you know, generally if someone goes to a liquor shop, he goes to purchase liquor. He might go for some other reason, but generally, if someone goes to a liquor shop, he's going to purchase liquor. And then Mr. Ramakrishna said, well, what if someone did worship Lord Shiva in the mood of bhakti? And Srila Prabhupada replied, then there would be no problem at all. And that is exactly the case here, that the Prachetas, they worship Lord Shiva not for any material benefit, but for spiritual enlightenment, ultimately to get the shelter of Lord Narayan. So, in Madras, there are a lot of Shaivites. And during Srila Prabhupada's stay, a very wealthy man invited him to his home. Because he was inaugurating a temple in his home. And it was, you know, it was quite a, I mean, it was a fairly big room. Nice, marble, and, you know, very nicely decorated. And he had invited a lot of people, including other sadhus. And there were so many people that that temple room was completely packed. And only Prabhupada was inside, and all of the disciples were outside. And it was a temple of Lord Shiva. So we were new, and we wanted to see, very eager to see how Srila Prabhupada would deal with the situation. So at a certain stage, the host distributed flowers to all the participants, and then at the given time, they offered the flowers to the Shiva Linga. And, you know, we're all like looking in the doorway and at Srila Prabhupada, and he threw his flowers in the corner. So then when everyone came out, he went in. And he saw in the corner, there was a little deity of Krishna. So he had offered his flowers to Krishna. So, But yes, Lord Shiva, we approach him as a devotee, approaching another devotee, he can help us in our attempts to serve Krishna, Guru, and Gauranga. But otherwise, we don't have any need or reason to worship demigods. And, you know, if someone is under the misconception that all the gods are the same, they're all equal, then we must educate them. Because it's an offense. It's one of the 10 offenses against the holy name, to consider the names of the demigods to be equal to or dependent of the name of Lord Krishna. So yeah, it's our duty to try to help them see things as they are. And Lord Shiva himself chants the holy name. There's a beautiful verse quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Shiva says that his mind is always enchanted by the holy name of Lord Ram. And 3 names of Lord Ram are equal to 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. And the background to that verse is that Parvati, she would always chant the Vishnu Sahasranam before taking food. And once Lord Shiva wanted her to honor prasad with him, and she said she couldn't because she still had to chant her Vishnu Sahasranam. And then Lord Shiva responded with this beautiful verse that my mind is always enchanted by the holy name of Ram. 3 names of Ram equal 1,000 names of Vishnu. So we can fulfill Lord Shiva's instruction, and of course the instruction of the scriptures and all the authorities by chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, are there any questions or comments? Where is Shamananda Prabhu?
Oh.
Sorry?
Watching.
Yeah, I understand that. So, what is next?
I have a question on. So, Master, in one of the books I read, that Lord Shiva has 3 planets that he exists in, like one within the material world, and then one above Lord Brahma's, and another one that is above Lord Brahma's, which doesn't get destroyed during the annihilation of the material world. I was wondering, but Lord Shiva, when he appears, he comes from Lord Brahma.
Yeah, but that's just that pastime when Lord Brahma becomes angry and Lord Shiva comes from his forehead, the Rudra. It's a pastime. Just like the incarnations of Krishna, Rama, they're eternal, persons, but they have their lila by which they appear or apparently take birth in the material world. But that's true. Rudra's an expansion. And Sada Shiva, the original Shiva, is beyond the material world. Yeah. It's quite a complex subject, but that's true. There are different expansions. Some are in the material world, and the original is beyond the material world.
What's false ego?
False ego is thinking that you're the body, and expansions of that consciousness that I'm the body are that, you know, everything in relation to the body is mine. And real ego is that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. So, everyone who takes birth in the material world, every conditioned soul who takes birth in the material world, has false ego. If he didn't have some false ego, he wouldn't be in the material world. So we have to become free from false ego so that we can get out of the material world ultimately and go back home, back to Godhead.